fantastic. Well, so I think we'll all identify with this, but at one time or another, have you had someone say to you, hey, you just look so much like your hands up? Right, and then keep them up, and then have there been other moments in your life where you've been doing something and you thought, hey, this is exactly what my mum or dad, yep. So is so we laugh, there are moments where I think we feel really terrific about that, and there are moments where we think, this is not a good sign. I don't know what it is, but perhaps particularly through teenagehood, we just really want to push away and create as much difference between ourselves and our families from whence we have come. But of course there are all these familial resemblances in us, whether they be physical or whether they be our personalities and characteristics. And so I thought we might just explore a bit about our origins this evening to do with our nature and the nurture, the environment in which we've grown up and has come to form who we are today. And look at what the Bible has to say about that, but also look at the birth process, where it all began. And a little caveat to begin with, my wife, Kate, apologies, but this is from a man's perspective about becoming a parent for the first time and the giving birth to the first child and the whole thing about having a birth plan. Yes, we all know about birth plans, don't we? There's sort of things that go out the window of the delivery suite. That's if you even get to a delivery suite, that is. So as a first-time parent, we decided that we would certainly make sure that everything went so well. And so we booked ourselves into National Women's, which is up there in Auckland, we were living there at the time. And we, when the due time came, we bowled along to National Women's, and it's positioned just by Cornwall Park. So the first thing they had us do, because the labour was going on for a little while, was go for a nice walk, a long walk. And I remember going into the Cornwall Park with Kate, and with each step away from the hospital, I was thinking, this is a long way to come back when you're 9 months pregnant and things are happening. So I was getting more and more nervous, and we got further and further away, and we sat down on a park bench and we're thinking, well, you know, nothing's happening, what do we do? So off we trotted back to the hospital again. Now this is where you get a whole new vocabulary as a male. So I had really not heard about things like delivery pools or pepidine or epidural or ventouse. So anyway, we'll get to that because things unfolded not quite in the way that we had planned. But nonetheless, we had put a few things in place that meant that when the time came, we'd know what to do. Now, when I was thinking about speaking about this, I don't know what came over me, but I just felt like I had to do it in a Robin Williams, you know when he does Mrs. Doubtfire? I just had this vision of this very capable midwife kind of coaxing us through. It wasn't like that. So, but if you'll just bear with me. So the delivery pool, dear. Why don't we try the delivery pool? I think you'll find a wee bun will come out right away, little girl. So into the delivery to the delivery pool we went. Well, the little bun did not just come out, as we hoped. Nonetheless, after we tried that, the word pethidine came up. Hey, what's that, dear? You'd like some more pethidine. Knock yourself out, little. Now, I'm on very dangerous territory here because Kate was doing all the work and I was just around, you know, trying to be useful, but really not useful at all, as you know. Then came what's that, Diddy? Did you say epidural? No, I heard you the first time when you said epidural. Oh, no, pepidine, sorry, not pepidine, epidural. You wanted, so epidural it was for us. Finally, and in our wisdom, we had gone with ventouse. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen what it is, but it resembles a plumber's suction cup.
Yes.
There's a few nurses nodding their heads. Well, I haven't really fully comprehended what this would do to our newborn child's head. So when she was finally pulled out, and there was a, seriously, like, I'm not kidding, there was a half a tennis ball size lump on her head. I was like, what have you done to my child? It was the most, anyway, that was our story. It didn't exactly go to plan, but what a gift Eleanor is and has been since. And the lump has gone down, as you all know. Anyway, that was the beginning of new life. Of course, that's just the beginning, just like marriage. There's a lot that comes after it. That's just one day. And after that comes the nurture part of things. And I think this is where our stories may all differ from one another, because we've all had different experiences of what it is to be nurtured in a family. And look, as I look back on my own parenting, and Kate and I just touched on this today, when you look back on it, you go, gosh, there were some gaps there, you know, we could have done this, we could have done that. And I think even with our own parents, there might be some gaps. And a year or two ago, I received a prophetic word for my life. And the word, which I think is appropriate for all of us, really, is this, that God will fill in the gaps. You know, where those places that you know about, perhaps only you know about, that require God's work, handiwork in, he's more than able to do that. I want to broaden the horizon now from physical birth, though, to spiritual birth. And I want to read from John's Gospel. And he talks fairly early on in his Gospel about the nature of this spiritual coming into being. And this is what he says in John 1, verses 10 to 12, speaking about Jesus. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Just teasing that out a little further, I'd like to read from Psalm 139, and many of you will be familiar with these beautiful words. And really, it holds these two things together, the nature of our physical birth, but also our spiritual being, and who it is ultimately that's responsible for us having life. I'm reading from verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And I love just the language of being knit together and woven together. And I think, you know, where there are gaps in our lives, that God continually weaves and knits together those places that need to be made whole again, where there are those gaps, those holes in our experience of being loved and nurtured in life. Zephaniah 3:17 has these beautiful words to say, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. And I remember well, and many parents will know this, that when a child is struggling to sleep and you're there in their nursery watching over them and you're perhaps rocking or just doing anything that will bring quiet to that child, and you might even sing over them. It's such a beautiful picture of the way God sees us. And for many of us, I think we need to perhaps recalibrate how we think of God as our Father and his tenderness for us. He's not just out there watching for the next thing that we do wrong, but rather he's there nurturing, encouraging, and wanting us to succeed. And he delights in us, and he sings over us. It's almost a creative thing that he's doing, wanting to see us grow and develop, to mature into the likeness of his Son, Christ. Jesus had an interesting encounter with Nicodemus, who was inquiring about something entirely different when Jesus went seemingly on a totally different tangent, not exactly answering the statement that Nicodemus had brought before him, but rather helping him to try and understand this, the whole nature of being born spiritually. And this is the conversation that unfolded between them when Nicodemus came at night in order not to be seen, because he was a religious leader and he may receive some persecution for getting involved with this upstart Jesus of Nazareth. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who has come from God, for one who can perform the miracles, signs you're doing if God was not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, unless a man is born, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Well, yeah, just totally goes for it. "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." And Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." I'm not sure really how Nicodemus received that, whether he went away puzzling over it, mulling over it, processing it, but it came to a point when Jesus' body was being taken from the cross that Nicodemus was there to help with the burial of Jesus. So I think something transpired along that journey for him. The penny dropped that he'd been seeking to have a relationship with God, but he'd not really fully experienced this birth of the Spirit, this being given birth to by the Spirit. And this is really what we've been looking at in Ephesians, hasn't it, over the last wee while. We've been looking at this new humanity that God is seeking to create in each one of us. This Spirit-breathed life that is modeled and built around the person of Jesus Christ. And it's God's desire for each one of us sitting here tonight. If we've come to believe in him, as we've read in John, put our trust in him, that we would receive God's Spirit in each one of us. And he's given his Spirit in order that we might grow and develop into those who are like his Son. And the presence of his Spirit actually in us is a tremendous gift. Ephesians says this, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are in God's possession, to the praise of his glory." And really, the presence of God's Spirit within our lives, it authenticates our life. It gives us validation, security, and empowers us to lead this life. We cannot do this in our own strength. We cannot do this through the flesh. We need to be led by the Spirit of God. That's why he gives us the Spirit. The Spirit brings life into our lives and gives us the ability to move forward, mature and grow in our relationship with Christ. And that's for all of us, no matter what gaps may have existed. I really believe that God is able to weave together and knit together those broken places that exist in our lives from times where we may not have felt loved, where we may not have felt nurtured. But God hovers over us and he sings over us and he delights over us and he wants to breathe new life into those places. So I'd really love to have Vic, if he would, to stand up and pray for the women in the church at this moment. And then I'll pray again after that, if I may. So here you go, Vic.
Before I pray, I'd like to share that a few weeks ago, I decided I was going to have a grandfather date with my young granddaughter. During that time, I learned an awful lot of what it was like to be a mother full time. It started off really that I took her to the park and she decided that me, grandfather, needed to chase her around the place while she was going to do her own thing. And so immediately I understood stress. One of my motives for having a grandfather date was that I like hot chips and my wife doesn't like me buying them. So I thought this was the opportunity to go to the chip shop and get some hot chips, give her one or two, and then I'll be able to have the entire packet. My first experience of such an occasion was, "Grandad, you're not to have any chips, they're mine, hands off." The same thing actually happened with the ice cream as well, which I bought her, which was totally frustrating. During the week, I discovered what it's like to change a very, very smelly nappy. My brand new sofas became a climbing frame. They were constantly wrecked. The house was, well, it was a mess. I was woken up in the morning, and I was also woke up at night, and I didn't get hardly any sleep. But there was something very special amidst all this. At around about 7:30 in the morning, when I was getting my car to go to work, there was my granddaughter at the window shouting, "Grandad," waving and saying, "Grandad, I love you so much." Mothers, I've been thinking about you an awful lot today. I've watched YouTube clips, I've read a few songs and lyrics and poems about what a mother is. And all I can say is I'm so glad that God made me a man. Ladies, I've been asked to pour a blessing over you, but quite honestly, I think you need more than that. But nevertheless, I'm going to pray a blessing. Can we just close our eyes? Father, I recognize that I am standing in the presence of some very remarkable women. Women that you've ordained to be mothers. And therefore, Father, I acknowledge this evening that they know from experience sacrifice, selflessness, giving even when they feel they have nothing left to give. I recognize this afternoon, Lady and Lord, that these ladies are very, very special. They have given birth through pain and discomfort, but they've done it with a joy that passes all understanding. So Father, in the most precious name of Jesus, I pray a blessing over each woman in this place tonight. And I specifically ask that the patience that you give them will increase and abound. The kindness that you've bestowed upon them, that it will grow into such a fruitful tree. And Father, I especially ask that where at this time they are feeling weak, Lord, will you impart a strength within them that will pass all understanding, all comprehension, and give them the mind and the alertness that they require at this time, just to know that they are doing the greatest job anyone could possibly do in this world. So Father, give them that blessing. Let it overflow. Let them bathe in it And if possible, amidst all the children that are around them, Father, I pray that you indeed give them a peace that will just calm all the anxiety and stress that motherhood holds. In the name of Jesus, I ask. Amen.
Thanks, Vic. Fabulous. Well, I just would like to take this moment, if we may, to just bless the women here. And I didn't have you stand up while Vic was praying, but that doesn't matter. But we'd like to hand out some gifts to you all now. So just at your tables, we'll move around, and just a wee gift from Cornerstone Church for you. And we're just really thankful for this evening, being able to gather like this. It's just different, obviously, from a typical church gathering or service, but I think it's very much a place for it as we get to know one another better and share a little more about our lives with one another. So bless you for coming. I hope you've had a fantastic day prior to coming here, and that this has been a blessing to be here. It's certainly a blessing to see you all here, and just look forward to continuing to get some momentum and find our way as we move forward on Sundays. So bless you, and just carry on chatting, okay?